there, and so we took the opportunity to go out there with them, amen. And so we were there all week with them, amen. And then we were there, and so that's why we weren't here on Friday night, amen. Because they were still working, they worked Friday and Saturday, and so but we had an opportunity to go to a Wednesday night service over there. We went out there, and we were there with the guys and fellowshipping with them. But we said, you know what? Let's take them out. Let's go check out. There's no Victory Outreach out there, amen. But I said, you know, I don't know of any other church that has church on Friday nights than Victory Outreach, amen. And there's no Victory Outreach out here. So I said, you know what? Let's go visit a church, amen. And so we visited a church, amen. And it was an experience, amen. It was an experience. I'm going somewhere, amen. And so we got to the church. It was a church that I heard about. It was a church. It's called Calvary Chapel, amen. Calvary Chapel. And I heard about the church because that church started around that movement. Calvary Chapel movement started around the same time that Victory Outreach did. And so my pastor, he would share with me stories about Calvary Chapel and how Pastor Sonny knew who they were. And that church, you know, it was a little similar to Victory Outreach, but the difference is that they started, God started to move in a powerful way with them, and they started to have a revival with all the hippies. In the 1960s, we remember that it was the hippie movement. I mean, remember the hippie movement, right? You see it in documentaries and stuff like that. And so that movement, the Calvary Chapel Church movement, they started to reach a lot of hippies. Matter of fact, the founder, I forget his name, but the founder, he was an ex-hippie. You know, he was an ex-hippie, stoner, you know what I mean? Got high, you know, he was a drug addict, you know those hippies, how they were, high for life and stuff like that. And God saved him, come on, amen. God gave his life to the Lord, and then he started to preach to all the hippies, you know, and they all started to get saved. And then around the same time, God sent Pastor Sonny to East Los Angeles, to East L.A. And he started to cause a revival with all the drug addicts in East Los Angeles and all the homies and all the gang members. And they all started to come to Victory Outreach. So our ministries kind of got started during the same time. And so I said, well, I'm going to go check out this church. And so I took the guys. And it was an experience, amen. It was an experience. We got there, amen. And they were happy that we were there, amen. A whole row of new people and... you know, they were just, you know, they were being nice and cordial and shaking our hands. And, you know, they were cool people, you know. Different church, different style. Come on, somebody. We sat during the worship. Come on, somebody. Amen. I think we were the loudest one singing.
Come on now.
Amen. And, you know, so it was a different experience. They ran the service a little different. And, you know, and I sat there and I was like, man, you know, this is cool, but this just ain't me. Yeah. Come on now. This just ain't us. This just ain't me, all right? But you know, out of respect, I said, you know what? I'm not going to get up and leave.
Yeah. Come on now.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I said, I'm not going to get up and leave because I know how it is to have people get up and leave when I'm preaching.
My God.
Oh, come on now. I know that feeling. So I said, out of respect, I said, you know what? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take it. Come on now. Amen. And, you know, they have different doctrine, too. They believe in once saved, always saved. And they were throwing that stuff out. And I was like, ooh, you know. And I was like, I'm going to behave. I'm not going to comment. You know, because they're at church, like, you know, you, like, can ask questions and comment during the preaching and stuff like that. You know, I guess that's how they do their Wednesday night Bible study. You know, so I just kind of sat there and just bit my tongue. I told the guys afterwards, I said, eat the watermelon, spit out the seed. Amen. Take the good, spit out the bad. Amen. So it was a cool church, but my point is this, amen. Let's be a disciplined congregation, and let's sit through these next 45 minutes to 30 minutes. Amen. Because God has a word for you. I said, take your neighbor, God has a word for you. Amen. And I was afraid because the Holy Spirit took over earlier, and I said, oh my God, I'm not going to get to preach. Amen. But the Holy Spirit said, you know what, calm it down and give the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we didn't forget about the announcements that we're trying to shorten off the service. Amen. But I want to give you this word that the Lord has given me for our church. Amen. I think it's a strategic word for our church at this time. Amen. And I titled this message, Stronger Together.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, together.
Together.
Tell them, juntos.
Juntos.
That's Spanish for together.
Juntos.
Amen. We're stronger together. Fuertes. Juntos. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stronger together. Matthew, let's start at Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. And then we're going to look down to verse 56. Amen. Matthew chapter 26. Amen. They'll put it on the screen. I think for the sake of time also. Amen. Verse 31. Let's read this one verse here. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, verse 31. It says, then Jesus told them, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. Talk about the whole church backsliding.
My God,
it happened to Jesus.
Wow.
I feel a little bit better. Amen. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.
Wow.
Take neighbor, stronger together.
Look
at verse 56 now. Verse 56. Drop down to verse 56. But this is all taking place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Father, bless the reading of your word, anoint it to our hearts. Lord, anoint me, God, to minister and to speak and to be able to minister to each and every individual here. Help me to minister at all levels, from the non-believer to the non-saved, to the first person that's ever been to church for the first time, to the veteran in church that's been here for years. Lord, help me, God, to minister to each and every one of them through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you and we love you. Let every heart be open to what the Spirit has to say to the church. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. The disciples were made up of different families and different friends and different individuals. That they didn't all know each other. They didn't know each other real well before Jesus called them to follow him. Some did know each other, like the sons of Zebedee, who were brothers. Like James and John, they were like brothers. They knew each other. But many of them just probably recognized each other. It's kind of like here in Victory Outreach Grand Prairie in VOGP. We're in a small town, Grand Prairie. It's not a big city. A little over 150,000, 170,000. And so you might run into each other here at church and recognize each other. You probably went to the same school. You seen each other at school. You seen each other in town. But you didn't talk to each other.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the disciples were made up. They kind of knew each other. They kind of seen each other around town, because Jerusalem was kind of like a small town. Nazareth was kind of like a small town. And so they kind of seen each other and recognized each other, but they probably never really connected with each other.
Come on.
And so Jesus, he had the task of bringing these different people together.
Come on now.
But not just bring them together, but to keep them together.
Come on now.
See, Jesus, he knew that he would not always be with them. And that after he would go back to heaven, they would be stronger if they stayed together. Somebody say together.
Together.
The devil knew this also. So he tried to weaken the church. He tried to weaken the disciples by scattering them. The devil will always try to weaken the church by scattering the sheep of the flock. And this is what we read taking place here in Matthew 26, verse 31, all the way to verse 58. Jesus, he prophesied it. Jesus foretold the disciples what was going to take place. He says, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. It says, for it is written, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter.
Wow.
Huh? In verse 20, in verse 33, Peter says, Peter replied, big mouth Peter, right? He said, not me, I said. Not me, homeboy Jesus. I got your back. Till the wheels fall off. And even with the wheels fall off, I still ain't going to jump off. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you that used to steal cars know what I'm talking about. Amen. They, you know, we the cops get behind us. Amen. They turn on the pretty little lights. Amen. We means go. That means go faster. They put out the spikes, blown out our tires, but we still didn't stop. Come on, somebody. You gotta be down with Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh? You gotta be down with Jesus, that you don't throw in the towel on Jesus. You don't give up on Jesus. But Jesus told the disciples, on this night, you're all gonna jump off the boat.
Oh, wait.
You're all going to jump out the car. You're all going to desert me. And Peter said, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. But we know he's the one that cursed God three times. He's the one that denied Christ three times. He denied Christ. My God. Be careful before you open up your mouth. Huh? You know, as a pastor, I've seen this too many times, time and time again. I've seen the enemy scatter the sheep by striking the shepherd or striking the leader. And when one gets hit and when one runs, they all run. Because it's the devil's work to try to scatter the sheep. Because he knows that we're weaker when we're divided. But when we're together, we're stronger. Listen, this is why as a ministry, as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need one another. We need each other's prayers. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other in the body of Christ. You know, it's discouraging to the pastor and even to the rest of the flock when this happens. When the sheep are scattered because the devil hits one sheep. And all the other sheep want to scatter too.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. It happens in our home. You know, one wants to leave, and then there's two more sheep. Wait for me. Huh? It happens. There you go. And they start doing the Soul Train Optimism. Spinning hell wide open. Come on, somebody. Huh? It happens. And it's discouraging to the pastor, to the leader, even to the rest of the flock. But a wise pastor and a wise people will work to save the scattered sheep and keep the flock together. Can you say amen? Listen, God has called us to the task to keep the flock together. And it's just not the shepherd's responsibility, but it's all of our responsibility to work together as a team, as a body of Christ, as a church, to help us keep the body of Christ together. Because we know that it's the enemy that wants to divide and conquer. It's the enemy that wants to divide us, because he knows if he can get us to straddle the fence, if he knows that he can get that one sheep that is straddling the fence, that is easy prey, that is easy pickings. But we got a saying in Victory Outreach: no man left behind, no woman left behind. And it takes a wise people, a people with a loving heart, a people with a caring heart, to say, I'm not just gonna let the devil take out my brother or take out my sister, but if they're missing, I'm gonna go find them. I'm gonna go visit them. I'm gonna go pray for them. I'm gonna go counsel them. I'm gonna go love them. I'm gonna go pour out the love of God on their lives. We have lost people over the years, and it gets discouraging. But when I read verses like verse 56, I'm encouraged. Because I read how Jesus lost his whole leadership team. But still, he built the greatest and strongest church that is still alive and thriving to this day. Over 2,000 years ago, the church is still alive. Why? Because Jesus said it a long time ago. He says that upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. This is why if you call to take a city, if you're called to be a pastor, don't worry about if it's going to work. I don't know if I want to step out of the boat. You just got to know that Jesus promised anointing. You got the promise. You got Jesus. This is why me and my wife have built a ministry. Because of Jesus. You know, Jesus went after. He went out. Why did the church survive? Why did the church survive even after Jesus losing his whole leadership team? Even after Jesus losing his whole church, why did it survive? Because after they were scattered for 3 days, he began the work of bringing them back together. Listen, sometimes the sheep are going to be scattered. But we must begin the work of the church of bringing them back together. It's called evangelism. It's called follow-up. It's called picking up the phone and calling somebody that you ain't seen in a while. It's called texting somebody. It's called Facebook. It's called inviting them to church. And Jesus, after the sheep were scattered, after he died, the sheep were scattered. He went to the cross. He died on the cross for mine and your sins. And then he died. He was buried in a tomb. And then 3 days later. What happened 3 days later? He rose. The tomb was open and he rose from the dead. And what did he start to do? He went out there and started to gather the flock back together. On day one of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the Bible says. And then after that, he restored them. And he says, go tell them, your brothers, that I have risen. So then he goes after two disciples, one named Cleopas and the other unnamed. They were 7 miles outside of Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, and he reveals himself to them and restores them. They end up going back to Jerusalem to the other disciples, and they tell the disciples how Jesus also appeared to them. By the time the two disciples get back, the women who saw Jesus at the tomb had gathered all the disciples and told them how they seen Jesus except for one. One wasn't there. His name was Thomas, aka Doubting Thomas. Jesus appears to them all except for Thomas. And then in a separate meeting, Thomas is being told that Jesus appeared to them. He appeared to them all, but yet doesn't believe the disciples. Thomas doesn't believe the disciples when they say that Jesus appeared to them.
My God.
But then Jesus walks through the walls and appears to Thomas until it says, Thomas, look, put your finger in my hands. Put your finger in my hand. Look, feel the wound. It's me, knucklehead.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Some people won't believe in God if a miracle took place right in front of their eyes. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was bringing all the disciples and his church together. Why? Because we are stronger together. We are stronger when we're united. We're stronger when we work as one. So listen, what is the lesson here? Recognize the tactic of the enemy to try to scatter the sheep. Recognize the tactic of the enemy when he tries to pull you away from the church, when he tries to pull you away from the brethren and say, no, 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 devil, get behind me, Satan. I know my safe place. I know that I'm stronger when I'm with the body of Christ. I know I'm stronger when I'm with the people of God.
Come on.
We're stronger together. How do we stay strong together? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 13. This is how God makes us strong as a church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. This is how he unites us. Somebody say unite. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, check this out, until we all reach unity.
Yeah.
Unity.
Yes.
unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here in this verse is what we call the fivefold ministry. This verse is understood by the fivefold ministry. Everybody put your hand up like this. Like this. Come on. Give me five. Give me five. There you go. Come on. Amen. It's a fivefold ministry. You can put it down. I'll keep mine up. The fivefold ministry could be understood with the hand. The hand. The thumb represents the apostle who has a very separate, he's separate from all the other fingers. Because why? Because he has a separate and unique calling. And there's not many apostles. There's not many apostles in the body of Christ. Jesus chose 12 apostles. Pastor Sonny is an apostle. Yeah. Our founder is an apostle. Listen, he's so humble, he doesn't call himself an apostle.
Right.
He calls himself Pastor Sonny. You know, that's what he, pastors are, Reverend Sonny. He didn't call himself, but he's an apostle. All the elders, all the leaders, we recognize that calling of apostleship, the stamp of an apostle upon his life.
Yeah.
We recognize that. Why? Because he's done the work of an apostle.
Yeah.
What does apostle mean? Apostle means sent one.
That's good.
Okay, sent one. Now, it means sent one. An apostle is one who plants many churches or starts many works.
Yeah.
Pastor Sonny is, he is over 500 churches all over the world. Still today, he plants works all over the world. In Panama, he started a base. He raised up a church that's thriving, growing, a UTC and an MTC. Why? It's a work that he started there, an apostle. He's doing the same thing. He did the same thing in South Africa, in Cape Town, South Africa. Now, Cape Town, South Africa is probably one of the biggest mega churches in Victory Outreach.
Oh, yeah.
And there's other churches that are exploding. What? He started a work. He's planted churches there. He's doing the same thing now in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Yeah.
My daughter Alexis was just there. She took pictures with Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. He is an apostle. He is unique in his calling. He stands out. And so therefore, at the hand, the apostle is understood as the thumb. Somebody say the thumb. Then the index finger, this is the index finger, is the pointing finger. The index finger. This represents the prophet. Because the prophet points the way. Are you getting this, church?
Yes.
A prophet points the way. A prophet foretells or gives a special word of revelation from God to the church. Pastor Ed, our spiritual great-great-grandfather, was a prophet. And I believe his wife, Sister Mitzi, carries that same anointing. That's the prophet. So we got the apostle. We got the prophet, which is the index finger, which points the way. And then you have the middle finger. The middle finger. Now, don't stick it out by itself. Right? The middle finger. The middle finger, if you notice, is the longest finger. Okay? It's the longest finger. It represents the evangelist. Because it's the longest finger of them all, symbolic to reaching out. The evangelist is always reaching souls. An evangelist is somebody like Art Blockus, Scott Hinkle, and many others. He's an evangelist. He's always reaching out to win souls. We are an evangelistic ministry, an outreach ministry.
Yes.
And then you have the ring finger. The ring finger, the next finger, the ring finger. Remember, we're talking about the fivefold ministry. We're talking about unity. This is what the fivefold ministry does. The ring finger represents the pastor.
Yes, Lord.
Because why? Because listen, let me tell you, the ancient Romans believed that the vein from the ring finger went straight to the heart.
Wow.
Therefore, representing the pastor is to give the church God's hearts.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
This is why scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, it says, I will give you shepherds after my own hearts. And then the last one, the pinky, it represents the teacher.
Amen.
These last two, the ring finger and the pinky, go together. They go together. Because a pastor must be able to teach. Am I teaching you here something this morning? I hope that you're learning something here this morning. Huh? See, the pastor, the ring finger and the pinky finger, they go together. If you notice, you can't move one without the other one moving also. And so when we think about the pinky finger, the teacher is the smallest or least, representing his humility as a teacher. Because that's what's needed as a teacher to handle God's word, to handle God's word with care. And so therefore a teacher must be very, very humble. Now these five callings or positions or ministries, however you want to call them, I want you to know that they are a gift from God. They are a gift from God to the church. Ephesians 4:11 says, so Christ himself gave. Amen. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Who did he give it to? The church. He gave these five callings to the church. They are a gift from God to the church. This is why we should seek them out. We should seek out to bring in the prophet, to bring in the evangelist, to bring in the apostle, to bring in the teacher, to bring in the pastor. Why? Because these are gifts that God gave the church. We should seek out to listen to them and to bestow them with double honor, the way the Bible teaches. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, you can look at it on the screen. It says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. Check it out. Especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. We should honor these gifts. We should honor this fivefold ministry. Let me tell you, the church needs these five gifts or people with these five gifts in order to be healthy. The fivefold ministry brings these five things to the table for the church. These five things it brings to the table. This fivefold ministry, the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, and the teacher bring these five things to the table. Write them down. One, equipping. Two, edification. Three, unity. Four, knowledge. And five, maturity. These five things every Christian needs. These five things every church needs. Every Christian needs to be equipped. Somebody say amen. Amen. The scripture says to equip his people for works of service. God didn't call us just to sit on our blessed assurance. God just didn't call us to warm up a chair in the church. God called us to roll up our sleeves and put our hands to the plow and put some work in for Jesus. You put in working for your gang. You put in working for your neighborhood. You put in working from the devil. It's time to put in work for God. But before you put in that work, don't mess it up. You got to be equipped. So to equip his people for works of service, number one. Number two, edification, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Edification means built up. In other words, means encouraged. You know, listen, you know how you build somebody up, encourage them. Husbands, if you want your husband to be better, quit nagging him. Start speaking life into him. Vice versa, husbands, you want your wife to be better? Quit talking down on her. Yeah. Tell her how pretty she is. Tell her how beautiful she is. Tell her how fine she is.
Yeah, come on now.
Come on, somebody. Huh? My wife always speaks life into me. Come on, somebody. She always calls me Papi Chulo. Sexy daddy. I look at myself, what are you talking about? I said, oh, you're speaking life. Come on, somebody. Huh? Praise the Lord. I know she's embarrassed, but it's all right. What is it? She's building me up. She's building me up. Listen, we got to build each other up. We got to walk around the church and say, man, you're the next pastor. You're the next evangelist. You're the next city taker. You're the next missionary. You're the next life group leader. instead of walking around the church, you ain't ever gonna make it.
Oh my God.
You ain't ever gonna amount to nothing.
Wow.
It's edification so that the body of Christ may be built up. And the fivefold ministry, this is what it does. That's what the prophet does. That's what the teacher does. We edify, we build up the church. And then thirdly, unity, until we all reach unity in the faith. God wants our faith to be united.
Yes.
Huh? He said, in other words, he wants our faith to be united together, the unity in the faith. And then four, knowledge. And the knowledge of the Son of God, we got to know who Jesus is. We got to know why he died on the cross for us. We got to know the benefits that he brings to the table. We got to know his word, the knowledge of the word of Jesus, the knowledge of the word of God. And this is why he's given us the prophet, the teacher, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, to give us knowledge, to bring us together, to build us up and edify us, to equip us.
Wow.
And then maturity. And to become mature, attaining to the fullness of Christ. Maturity. Listen, not everybody can be a wet around the ear Christian. Listen, we can run into a problem sometimes because we're so evangelistic. The problem that we can run into is that the babies in Christ can overpower and outnumber the leaders and the mature Christians. Then we have, it's a good problem, but it's a problem.
Yeah, right.
It's a good problem, but it still has to be addressed.
Right.
We need mature Christians that can disciple babies in Christ.
Hello.
We need mature Christians that can disciple new people to Christ. Because listen, new people come in with a lot of questions.
Hello.
Right now they have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Why is this? Listen, and we need spiritual mature believers that are equipped, that can handle a baby crying. Some people can't handle baby crying. Come on, somebody. And let me tell you something. Sometimes new believers, listen, they're broken. They're sensitive. But you got to be equipped to know how to feed them and nurture them and grow them. Today, we want to focus on unity. Because why? We're stronger together. The fivefold ministry helps bring unity to the church because it makes the church a wholesome or holistic church. In other words, we become well-rounded as a church when we have all these five gifts operating in our ministry. Victory Outreach International is a well-rounded ministry. This is why we're so affected all over the world. Because we are well-rounded.
Yes.
Huh? Because we have all these gifts active in our midst as a ministry, we are well-rounded. So what unifies us? I got three things that unify us. The first thing is the unity of hope.
Yes.
The unity of hope. I believe we all come to God in hope of something. Either a better life,
yes.
A better marriage, a better you, or a better future. Therefore, it's our hope in God that unites us. It's our hope in God that brings us together. I came to church hoping for a better future, a better me. I put my hope in God that God could do this for me, and he did.
Amen.
The church is made up of people who put their hope in God. And God changed them, saved them, and blessed them. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And I want to tell you, as the church testifies to this end, more and more come to put their hope in God through our testimony. So listen, hope brings us together in unity. Did anybody come here hoping for something?
Yeah.
Did anybody come here this morning hoping for a new life?
Yeah.
Hoping for a better future? Yeah. Hoping for help in their marriage? Right. I hope that you came to hoping for something.
Come on.
Hope is a powerful thing.
Wow.
We got to continue to be a church that gives hope to our city.
Yeah.
by testifying about God's faithfulness, miracles, and His love. You know that's what happens when we testify about God's faithfulness, God's miracles, and God's love, and God's saving power. It gives hope to the hopeless. It gives hope to our community. This is why the Bible says, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, they say that it's easy to come together, but the hard part is staying together. Which brings me to my second point that unifies us, which is unity of convictions. I want you to know that hope brings us together, but conviction keeps us together. Hope brings us together, but conviction keeps us together. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they are in agreement? What separates the people of God is when our convictions do not align to God's holy word. All of our convictions should come from God's word, therefore bringing uniformity to the body of Christ. When all of our convictions come from the word of God, it gets us in uniform. It's like this week when your kids go to school and some of them got to wear a uniform, right? Like Frank and Timmy, they got to wear a uniform. They got to wear all black shoes, khaki pants, a shirt with a school logo on it. And on Thursday morning, we're going to take them to the first day of school, and we're going to see lots of other kids dressed the same way because they're in uniform. Well, what brings the uniform to the church? Our convictions.
Wow. Good.
Our convictions. And when people look at us, they look at us as one. Wow. Oh, you ain't hearing me. You know what happens when the world looks at us as one? When the devil looks at us as one, he thinks twice before messing with us.
Wow.
Oh, you ain't hearing me. Let me break it down to where you understand. When I wasn't saved in my BC days, before Christ, I was a gang member. I was in a gang called OCH, Oak Cliff Homeboys. Our color was red. So whenever we went to school, we all wore red. And we went mobbing down the hallways all wearing red. All 15 of us. It was a small gang, not a big gang. 15 to 20, the most 20 of us. But when we were together, and they seen us all wearing our colors, they thought twice. Oh, you hearing me?
Oh, come on.
I mean, we could have people that didn't know how to fight. Come on now. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We don't know how to fight. Oh, yeah. But we're together.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And people thought twice. Yeah. Before they came messing with us. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. When we're united, when we're uniform in our convictions, when we all say that is sin, and we all come in agreement that the Bible says is sin, the Bible says is sin. And so therefore we're putting on this uniform in our convictions to live out the word of God. And then the devil looks at us. He says, don't mess with them, because them people ain't playing around at Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. They believe in the power of God to keep them, not only to save them, but to keep them.
Yes. Right. True.
Good. See, all our convictions should come from God's word.
Yes.
But what happens is that what happens sometimes is this: what I say is sin, you say is not.
Wow.
What I say is wrong, you say is right.
Wow. My.
This divides us. When our convictions come in alignment, we speak the same language. In Genesis chapter 11, the piano player can come up. In Genesis chapter 11, when the people of this world all spoke the same language, they built something big, the Tower of Babel. But what they did was not pleasing to God, because it was with wrong motives. The Bible says it was for themselves, to make a name for themselves. Listen to what it says in Genesis 11 verse 6. And I'm going to finish with this. Listen to what the Lord says. It says, the Lord said, if as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. When our convictions are aligned, we begin to speak the same language. When our convictions begin to align and our speech comes in agreement, we become a powerful people that are not building a name for ourselves like the Tower of Babel, but building for God's honor and God's glory. Listen, Victor Outreach Grant Perry, we're building something. But if we're going to build something strong and it's going to last the test of time, we got to be in unity, not just in hope, but in our convictions. Listen, I got all these notes. These are all my notes. I'm going to keep you all night preaching. I'm just kidding. No, you know what this is? These are our beliefs. Our beliefs as a ministry. You see, because what happens is that whenever we're not united in our convictions, we're divided. We're divided. And we must be united in mind and in thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thoughts. United in mind and thought because we have the same convictions. Those convictions come from our statements of faith, our 5 E's, our 3 C's, and our mission statement. All these are taught in our life flow and are mentioned in our preachings. You also learn our convictions by following and watching our leadership, the pastors and the leaders. This is why leaders must be examples of our principles and values and convictions that we have from the Word of God. We must live a life of holy convictions before God and before people. It's hard to build a healthy people or a healthy church when one says, well, homosexuality is sin, but someone else says it's not sin. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 10 says, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Conviction. Some people say, getting a tattoo is okay. And others say it's not. Leviticus 19 verse 28 says, do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. Wow. Listen, these are just examples I'm giving you. But there are many areas where we as the people of God must get our convictions, not by man's opinion, but by the Word of God. Listen, I'm not saying you got a tattoo, you're not going to make it to heaven. We come in with tattoos. We put a tattoo of our neighborhood. That's all right. God forgives you. It's under the blood. But now that we know the truth, we got to stand on the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Now we got to stand on the Word of God. You ain't got to go take it off. You ain't got to go, pray. It's just battle wounds, man. It's just, that's in your past. You might want to get rid of some. That's up to you. I'm just making a point here. Somebody put a meme on Facebook and it says, they raise their hand, okay, will God still love me, if I get a tattoo? It was a guy asking a question, will God still love me if a person gets a tattoo? And then the pastor answers him, yes, God will even love you for asking a stupid question. Come on, somebody. Huh? My point is this. Look, we got to be unified in our convictions. Yes. And as a ministry, we must have a conviction to stay above reproach. In other words, not giving the world room to point the finger at us. Right. We must have a conviction to be loyal people, loyal to God, loyal to our wives, to our families, to our church, to each other. We must have a conviction to be givers. We must have a conviction for prayer and the Word of God. And we must have a conviction to win the lost. Where do we get our convictions from? From our beliefs. This right here, all our beliefs. This is what we believe in as a ministry. It's a lot of them. I was going to pass them out. Is we believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe in sanctification and holiness. We believe... No, now somebody flipped my papers over and I can't see them now. blank paper. We believe in backsliding. The backsliding is what we believe about the backsliding and security of the believer. What we believe about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is the unpardonable sin. What we believe on laying on of hands and divine healing. We believe that God heals people. What we believe about heaven and hell, it's right there. Some people don't believe in hell. They want to believe in heaven, but they don't want to believe in hell. Oh, how convenient. What we believe on creationism. What we believe on death and burial. The confession of sins. Pastor Josh, put these all on the table. You feel free to take them home. They'll be right there. What am I saying? Our convictions have to be united.
Yes.
We teach this stuff in our life flow, in our Bible studies. This is why it's important to get plugged in. Because if not, we're going to be divided. The enemy's going to divide and conquer. But we must be united. Because united, we're stronger, church. Which brings me to my last point. We must have unity of purpose. I want you to stand to your feet. Unity of purpose. In other words, our mission must be the same. What is our mission? Well, it's simple. It's in our mission statement. You can put our mission statement on the screen. This is our mission statement. Victory Outreach is an international church-oriented Christian ministry. Call to the task. This is our mission statement. Call to the task of evangelizing, winning souls, and discipling the hurting people of the world with the message of hope and the plan of Jesus Christ. This call involves a commitment to plant and develop churches and training centers in strategic cities of the world. This is why Alexis is in Guadalajara, in Panama. We're planting churches.
This is why
we're going to launch out Pastor Josh.
Yeah.
We're planting churches. Yeah. Victory Outreach inspires and instills within people the desire to fulfill their potential in life with a sense of dignity, belonging, and destiny. Victory Outreach works cooperatively with others of mutual purpose in accomplishing the task before us.
Yeah.
This is our mission. I know it's a lot, but this is our mission. It's clear, it's cut. We're just not just a fly-by-night ministry. We just look like this, but we're sharp.
Oh, come on now.
We're sharp.
Come on now.
We came from the hood.
Yeah, yeah.
But God has taken the hood out of us.
Come on.
He's put the heaven in us.
Hey.
And we're united together. We're stronger together. And I'm not going to make an altar call today. I'm going to say a prayer for those that want to get saved. But I want to leave the church with this. Listen. We're stronger together. And we need to be a strong church. Because the enemy, he's not going to let up. He's going to come out. He's going to want to scatter the sheep. He's going to try to addict our children to meth and to ice and to alcohol and to drugs and to marijuana. He's going to try to break our daughters' hearts.
Yeah. Wow.
With sexual immorality.
Wow.
He's going to try. The enemy doesn't play fair. Have you not noticed?
Yeah.
He doesn't play fair.
No.
Listen, we have the answer to all these shootings. It's Jesus.
Come on.
But we got to be united in purpose to say, as a church, as a people, we're going to bring the message of hope, the plan of Jesus, that Jesus loves you. And you ain't got to shoot people. You ain't got to die a drug addict. Your marriage doesn't have to fall apart. But there's hope for your marriage. There's hope for your children. There's hope for your daughter. There's hope for your son. We have that message, church. It's the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We must be united.
Hallelujah.
Because some people may not listen to me, but they'll listen to you. They'll listen to you. You have your testimony, and you must tell your testimony. And have a unity of hope, a unity of conviction, and a unity of purpose.
That's right.
And together we're strong. We're strong. We can knock out any giant, any Goliath, any lion or bear together. And so right now, listen, there is a giant in front of us that we need to knock out. And that giant is to purchase this building. It's to buy this building. Ask me why.
Why?
I'm going to tell you why. For the two of you that said, asked me, I'm going to tell you what. Listen, I've seen too many churches. I've seen pastors. You know, I've seen pastors in churches go through it. I've seen landlords come in and say, this is the last time you can have church here in this building. Next week, I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to have to go somewhere else. I've seen it. I've seen people come in and get swept up. I've seen pastors go into a building and fix the whole building up. Nice marble floors, nice altar, nice carpet, floor to floor carpet, cushion, nice children's ministry, screens, LED. I've seen it. And then for the landlord that they're leasing, that was leasing to them, to go in and give it to another church that offered them more money.
Yeah. Wow.
I've seen it.
I've
seen pastors wake up Monday morning and not knowing where they're going to have church the next Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is why we as a church, we got to jump on it.
Good. Right.
Now, it's not big enough, but we'll make it big enough.
Yeah.
We'll make it big enough. And the thing is that we know that we're going to move on from here one day. We're going to move on. But the goal is to be able to move on from this place with at least $500,000 or $1 million in our church, so we can buy our own property, build our own church, build our own sanctuary, build our own children's ministry, build our own offices, build our own church. Listen, if God did it for Pastor Sonny Jr. at the Mother Church, God will do it for us. He don't love Pastor Sonny Jr. more than he loves us.
Come on now.
He loves us the same.
Yeah.
But do we have the faith to do it?
Woo!
So what I'm going to ask you to do for this week is I'm going to ask you to pray next Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take a step of faith in telling you this. I'm going to take a step of faith because some of you might not come back, and that's okay.
Wow.
Listen, I want you to pray and fast. Take one day today. Take one day this week to pray and fast about taking a pledge up. Taking up a $1,000 pledge. If you're a couple, a $2,000 pledge. Take that pledge so that we can start raising finances to put a down payment on this building. Listen, God has opened up the door for us.
Wow.
He's given us favor with our landlord. Not everybody wants to sell their property. But he's given us that opportunity.
That's good, Pastor.
And with the open door, what I learned about an open door from my leaders is step through it.
That's right.
Step through it. Listen, God's been ministering to me all week. And he's told me, listen, listen, I know it's a lot of money. Listen, they want $550 for this building. $500,000, $550. It's a lot of moolah. We don't have a lot of it. But you know what God told me? He says, do what you can do and trust me for the rest.
Yes.
Wow. Do what you can do and trust me for the rest. Can we do that video on YouTube?
Yeah.
Let's just do what we can do. And let's just pray for a miracle that God's going to come through for the rest.
Yes, yes.
But I want you to really pray and fast. I'm not going to pick up pledges today. Don't worry, your wallet's safe today. Come on now. But again, listen, if you're not a giver, you don't want to give, you trip on giving, don't do it. We don't have to, please. Just come to church, man. Be blessed, man. You know, hog up the AC, make the altar, man. Hog up the presence of God. We'll still love you. Huh? We're going to love you to maturity. But listen, If you say, you know what? Let's do this. We got your back, Pastor.
Yes.
This is our church. This ain't just your church. This is our church. We're unified. We're together and taking. We love Grand Prairie. We grew up in Grand Prairie. Our kids go to school here in Arlington. We know that you have a heart for Arlington. Oh, good. And this is our neighborhood. So therefore, we know our family's gonna get saved here. I'm gonna get married at this altar. My family's gonna go to the men's home and to the women's home. And so therefore, I'm planting a seed. So this week, I want you to pray. Come next Sunday, ready. To either take up a $1,000 pledge or a $2,000 pledge. And listen, we don't have a long time to pay it. You have about 2 months to pay it. We have to get it done.
Right.
And then we're going to go into another pledge.
Come on.
But our goal is at least either by the end of the year or by the beginning, the first quarter of next year, to be able to purchase this building.
Amen.
It's a mountain, believe me. It's stretching my faith.
Come on, that's right.
Huh? I see what comes in. Ain't no one trying to get rich here. You see where I live. Come visit me. I live in the hood, 23rd Street in Dalworth. You see where I live. I'm trying. We're trying to buy the Lord's house, and I haven't even bought a house for myself.
Come on.
I'm not trying to get rich here. To build the kingdom of God. I'm trying to reach more Jose's and more Pastor Josh's and more Brother Joe's and more Brian's and Sean's and more Carl's and more Luma. I'm trying to reach more drug methamphetamine addicts and drug addicts and more I'm trying to reach more gang members. I'm trying to reach more alcoholics. I'm trying to restore more marriages and more families. I'm trying to prevent more teenagers from gangbanging and doing drugs. That's what we're trying to do together. Let's do this together. So will you pray about that?
Yes.
If you'll pray about that this week, you'll pray about giving an amount, either $1,000 or $2,000 by next, not by next month, but you're going to take the pledge. It's a pledge. You got 2 months to pay it. If you're saying, oh, Pastor, I'll pray for that. I want you to lift your hands. I want to pray for you. He said, that's you. I'm going to pray about it. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the hearts, you see the hands moving your people. Create a spirit of generosity.
Yes.
Meet the needs. Provide, Jesus. Meet our needs according to your riches and glory. Encourage your people. Strengthen your people. Fill their faith. And show them your glory. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord some praise. Tonight, if you're here this morning, if you want to give your life, is anybody who want to give your life to Jesus? Maybe you're a backslider. Raise your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus. Anybody here? You're all saved? Everybody saved? Anybody else? Anybody over here? You good? All right. We're all saved? That means if Jesus comes back today, we're going to be with Jesus, right? We don't need to buy it. You don't have to take a pledge. If Jesus comes back, amen. Praise the Lord. So either pray for the rapture to take place, amen, or pray for a miracle, financial breakthrough, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many love Jesus?
Amen.
Were you blessed today?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. And we love you. Amen. On behalf of me and my wife, we love you. Babe, will you come up here and close us in a word of prayer? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to close in a word of prayer. I'm going to have my wife close us in a word of prayer. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you just bow your heads right there where you are. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning, God, and we thank you, God, for the beautiful presence, God, that was... God, that we feel here today, Father, I pray that you would continue to be with us, God. God, that we would continue to grow strong in unity as a church, Father. You be with us, God, throughout the day, God, throughout the week, God, as we seek you through prayer, Father, I pray that you give us traveling mercy.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I went 10 minutes over. Forgive me. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen.